We are going to begin with the opening hymn, How Great Thou Art, which is on number 856. And if you'll need a cranberry hymnal and one of these little third sheets. I didn't print one for every person, so can you find someone to sit by or wave if you don't have one, and we'll try and share. A little bit of an intro. How Great Thou Art, the tune with a special verse, was a special song that the Holden Forerunners, I understand, sang often. And so we are going to sing verses 1 and 2 out of the hymnal. And then on this little sheet is a verse that's inserted in the middle there, after verse 2 in the hymnal, that Dr. Wilton Bergstrand wrote the words for and was often sung 50 years ago. And so if we could insert this little verse right after number 2, and then we'll come back and finish with 3 and 4. So hymn number 856, sing 1 and 2, move to your little sheet, and then finish with 3 and 4. There we go. And we may as well stand. It's kind of got some high notes, you know.
Thank you.
Thank you. You may be seated. Let us pray. Dear God, thank you for being here with us tonight, and please guard my mouth and help me to speak words that are pleasing to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I'm going to start out with explaining the pile of rocks that you might see in the Koinonia Fireside Room. If you just arrived today, maybe you didn't see it, although if you went to orientation, you might have seen it. If you go into the Fireside Room, inside the round ring of the stone ring that used to be a fireplace but is no longer, there's a pile of rocks with a wooden cross on top. And it will remain a pile of rocks unless I explain to you a little more of the story. And so, I will. In the wintertime at Holden Village, when this building, the village center, is not heated and our population is smaller, our evening Vespers services and our Eucharist services gather in Koinonia Fireside Room, the room that a lot of the teaching staff sessions are in now. And this past Lent, our pastor Scott had us all bring in stones each Sunday and place them around that rock fire ring on the rock. And I even remember some specific stones and who brought them in from this past year, especially Matthew Sullivan came in with one of the gargantuan ones one Sunday, and we all looked at him like, wow, that was effortful, because we did have snow at that time during Lent. So can you imagine acquiring a large rock like that at that time? And the stones were supposed to represent issues of injustice and need for peace. And it came from the idea came from the scripture reading found in Luke 19, where when Jesus is riding the colt down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of disciples start to make a lot of joyful noise, and with loud voices they sing, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, and peace on heaven, and glory in the highest heaven." And some of the Pharisees are kind of perturbed, and they ask Jesus to quiet down his crowd. And Jesus replies that, "I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out." And so during Lent, the stones shouted out for justice to us as we gathered to worship. And they were joined with new hope and new life in the shape of Easter lilies on Easter Sunday. Later, after Easter was complete, I did a Vespers in that room in which I shared thoughts about a question that I am asked occasionally by a variety of people. People who have been coming to Holden for many years and people who are brand new to this place. The question or suggestion has to do with why Holden, a Lutheran ministry centered around daily worship, doesn't have a chapel or a specifically built worship space. And part of the answer has to do with the fact that we are an historic site and additions and changes to the buildings are not allowed under that designation. So that's a pretty easy answer. But maybe a bigger and more complicated answer is, what is really the definition of the church? Is it a building? And that caused me to remember what is found in Mark 13, as the disciples were with Jesus. And as he came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what large stones and what large buildings." Then Jesus asked him, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left here upon the other. All will be thrown down." So it doesn't sound like Jesus had a real high regard towards earthly made buildings. Is the church a building? Or are we called to be the body of Christ, the living church? Then I was drawn to the scripture verse found in 1 Peter 2. "Come to him, a living stone, though rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight. And like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So with the cross at the top of, or the head, as Jesus is the head of the living church body, the cornerstone which the builders rejected, which became the chief cornerstone, each person that night when I did that Vespers took some of those stones, one or two of them, and we built that little pile of rocks that you see in Koinonia Fireside. And it was a reminder that God is with us and that we are called to be a church built with living stones. Not a building, but a body. And this little pile of rocks was our Ebenezer. It's a good word, Ebenezer. It's kind of strange, though, right? We're not talking about Scrooge, the Christmas carol. What is an Ebenezer, you ask? We sing it in one of our hymns, the Come Thou Font of Every Blessing. We sing, Here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy help I've come. And every time I forget what it means, and I have to look it up. But I will tell you again tonight and remind myself that the word Ebenezer comes from Hebrew and is actually two words put together. The first word meaning stone, the second word meaning help. So Ebenezer translates stone of help. And we hear about it in 1 Samuel as a particular site named after the Israelites defeated the Philistines. They named the site Ebenezer. Samuel set up a marker stone and named it Stone of Help to mark the place where God's miraculous help aided them. A reminder of God's real, holy presence and divine aid. So the little stone pile in Koinonia Fireside is to remind us that, yes, we are living stones that build the living church and that God is present and head of this church body. Now I'm going to jump back 50 years when a group of young people and the founding inspirational leaders of this ministry we know as Holden Village rode in the back of the 1961 truck all the way up that dusty valley road to this deserted, vandalized village in need of much repair. They called themselves the Forerunners after John the Baptist, the forerunner for Christ. From Hebrews 11, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Talk about faith. These young people had faith. Assurance of things hoped for and conviction that they were a part of something that was going to go somewhere. Even if there was no way at that time to know that this Holden Village idea would even get off the ground. But get off the ground it did. I find it very interesting to read some of the minimum courtesies and information for community life, a sheet that was put together by some of these, this first work camp groupers. And I'm going to read a little bit of it from you for you because it's very entertaining. So this is a sheet that was pulled together, I'm assuming, right before you came to Holden or during while you were at Holden? Shout it out, any forerunner? I don't know. Minimum courtesies and information for community life at Holden Village, worked out by the first work campers called the Forerunners, June 15th through July 15th, 1961. Number one, there should be advanced briefing on mountain climbing hazards. No one leaves camp unless he is part of a group of three or more persons. 8-inch hiking boots are strongly recommended for the trails. Today at Holden, we are very particular about safety. We still suggest you hike in groups of three, and we have a sign-out sheet 50 years later. Number two, there should be a briefing on fire hazards immediately on arrival at Holden Village, and also a careful fire drill. There should be absolutely no smoking while riding in the back of the truck or while walking on trails. All campfires must be completely out through use of water and or rubbing every stick and coal in dirt to be sure it is out. Today, 50 years later, we We have hose house training for every staff person that is going to be here for 3 weeks or longer, and we have very strict smoking rules as well. Number three, no one leaves the village on the boat to Chelan before the period is up, except for medical treatment. Yes, we have you trapped here if you're on staff, and even to this day. But we have a little more freedom. We call them out days, but they are regulated and they are still part of the process. Number four, where campers stay together as a group, no one leaves the village during the workday. Pretty much stays the same these days. Number five, this is thrown in there just as a good to know, I guess. Some mornings are cool in the 30s, so bring warm clothing. Still true today. Number six, the essence of Holden is a worshiping community. So everybody who comes automatically attends the worship services and the Bible study. And those of you in this room that are on staff, or for those of you that have never been on staff, I will let you know and remind you that when you become staff, we sign a covenant that says, yes, we will attend worship every day, regardless of where we might be in our spiritual journey. We will participate in that rhythm of life here in this place. And that began 50 years ago. Number seven, it's a little more blurry. No fellows in the girls' dorms and no girls in the fellows' dorms. Now, I'm informed that that's kind of misleading because there was no dorms. So maybe it was supposed to say tent or floor space. Because when they arrived, nothing was up and running. They were pretty much living where they could. And 50 years ago, this is what it says at the bottom of this page, and it resonates deeply with me that this is still true. These words are still true today. Come to serve. Come willing to face the demands of a job that needs to be done, and be prepared to spend time and effort in preparation. Come to study. Come for Bible study and sharing with others who may have different backgrounds and points of view. Come with questions. Come to grow. Come to gain insight into the nature of the Christian community and the working of the Holy Spirit through the reexamination of your own personal and social attitudes, the searching of new possibilities in worship, the mutual facing of the personal problems, and the practice of Christian love. Come if you love people, if you can bring some resources, if you can accept the challenge, and if you will give the time of your life. All those words resonate true to all of us that venture up this mountain, even to this day. So as Holden begins to celebrate 50 years, it's wonderful that the Forerunners have gathered this past weekend to kick off the celebration. They continue to play the role of preparing the way. And I can't help but think of the verses from Hebrews 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Excuse me. When I hear about the spirit of the Forerunners and realize how many, many, many people have come and continue to come to serve, study, and grow in this place, the cloud of witnesses is very, very tangible for me. It's right here, sitting in this room. And tonight, I wish to lift up that early cloud of witnesses and read the list of those that came to work in 1961. Some of these people are deceased. Some of these people we've lost contact with. Some of these people were unable to come this past weekend, and some of them are sitting with us right now. So I would like to read all the names of the young people that came, as well as the people that were behind the scenes and some of their leaders that came with them also that first summer of 61. So hold these people in your hearts. Here we go. Eleanor Almquist, Philip Anderson, Thomas Anderson, Kenneth Barrett, Barbara Bauer, Joe Brune, Linda Carter, Mark Diemer, James Felton, Robert Gonski, Louise Hansen, Bruce Harland, Donald Harler, Mary Hedman, Kenneth Hyder, John Hill, Judy Halkinen, Sandra Halkinen, Beverly Johnson, Bruce Johnson, Wayne Kemp, Marie Krell, Melba Larson, John LaRosse, Judy LaRosse, Elizabeth Lindholm, LaVon Logan, Dennis Mattson, Mary Nelson, Elaine Olson, Zelda Pargman, Helen Peterson, Colleen Popple, Michael Ringdahl, George Rigg, Audrey Sanders, Janice Toby, Fern Vancura, James Weiberg, Sylvia Wogeman, Sonia Woody, Dr. and Mrs. Wilton E. Bergstrand and their sons John and Paul, Professor and Mrs. Harold LaRosse, Mr. Gilberg, Joanne Johansson, Mrs. Bertha Pearson, Dr. Reuben Thomas, and Danny Lohman, who was the nephew of Gilberg. One moment. It's pretty amazing. I'm going off script here, but that really the spirit of 50 years ago could continue to flow through this place. And what's happening in the world today that's going to take off like this and last for 50 years? So back to this idea of the verse from Hebrews. There's another reason why I like it for this evening. Besides referring to the cloud of witness that is ever so tangible in this place, it refers to running a race. And I find it rather funny that the number of forerunners able to attend this weekend reunion is four. So they could be called the F-O-U-R runners, forerunners. Maybe they would like to run a race still, I don't know. But I'm wondering if they could run up here to the center when I call their name so that Chuck could present them with a gift from this community during this service, acknowledging that 50 years ago something started here. Up on the altar here we have some bowls and some cards that were created by some talented potters and artists that currently are on staff. The bowls say 1961. They have a little inscription of the truck that they rode in with the little bodies, and I think it says, what does it say, the Fellowship of Sweat and Dirt? Sweat and Dirty Hands, and that fellowship continues on today, I can guarantee you. So, if I could call up the four forerunners, if I can find your names, I know all your names, first names, but Bob Gonski, would you please come up? And Mary Hedman Rue, and Sonia Woody Demeter, and James Weiberg. On behalf of everyone, I want to thank you. I want to thank you all, for all of you that have come to tonight, the four of you, and all those that haven't been here, that are not able to come this weekend. I thank you for coming to serve 50 years ago, for your willingness to face the demands of a job that needed to be done, for your faithful perseverance that surely did pave the way for so many more, and also laid the foundation for the spirit of what Holden became and has continued to be. So thank you from the whole wide Holden community. So to finish off, what is Holden? Getting back to worship here. What is Holden? Is it a bunch of buildings in a beautiful location? Like a church is a building? I truly believe that Holden is not the buildings. I believe that Holden is the living stones that make this place what it is. The living stones that worked hard in this valley 50 years ago. Also, the people sitting on your right and your left tonight. And you are the living stone. Maybe Holden is so dear and near to people because this place and these buildings are like an Ebenezer. Somehow, when people visit, they are reminded of God's real, holy presence. On earth as it is in heaven. It's something we not only pray for often, but feel assurance of hope and conviction that this, although maybe hard to see, is. That God's kingdom is at hand. I will make a note that an Ebenezer is a reminder. It isn't an example of perfection, as sometimes I think people believe Holden should be. But Holden is a reminder that no matter where you roam, God is there and God's kingdom is at hand. And the great thing about living stones is that they have legs. They are not just plopped down into concrete uniformity. They walk right down the mountain, away from this Ebenezer Holden, out into the world, which is exactly what God calls us to do. And it's a trip. It's a journey. The ministry of Holden journey began 50 years ago, and with this amazing cloud of witnesses that have been a part of this place, we continue to journey. And we continue to look to Jesus, our cornerstone, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, as we venture into the next 50 years. To close, I would like to sing hymn number 808. 808. Lord Jesus, you shall be my song.
Thank you.
cloud of witnesses and living stones, go in peace and serve the living God.
Amen.